The presidential motorcade has just passed through heavy crowds in downtown Dallas and was circling through the fringes of the business district when three shots suddenly rang out.
Destroying the media lies and dismantling the narratives. One story at a time. It's the Adrian Slade Show.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Adrian Slade. We've got a ton to get into, but before we start off the show, please rise for the singing of your national anthem. Heck is that? This is a freaking jazz singer. Zip zop zip de boo. Scott skit Scott doo.
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
Oh, God. Christ. Good God. Francis Scott Key. He's not just rolling over in his grave. He's clawing his way to the surface to strangle you. God, I wish I could have missed this like child misses that blanket. Wow. You just torched that thing. Can we have some of those red rockets aimed at you? I hope to never hear this ever again. Yeah, all right, Fergie. Yeah, that's Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas destroying the national anthem. And, you know, I think I just took a knee. I think President Trump just took a knee. I think the entire stadium just took a knee. Not because of the anthem, but because of what we've been hearing for the last few minutes. Just my ears are bleeding. It's God awful. Who let her do that? Who thought that was a good idea? Anyways, you know what? We deserve a Fergie national anthem after the last few weeks of constitutional ignorance. This just caps off a week of insane defecating all over the American founding. The fact that they don't understand the motives behind the actual amendments, that's an example of our ignorance. Why not give Fergie, you know, the ability to demolish the national anthem? I don't want to bag on her too hard because she technically hit the notes, but good God, what made you say, hey, let's do this in a jazz singer Marilyn Monroe kind of way? It doesn't really work. But we've just had weeks of, you know, willful ignorance on civics, so an outlandish, ridiculous rendition of the national anthem would be the capstone to the last few weeks. So unfortunately, we had another school shooting, and it happened right after the completion of last week's production for the show. Even more horrific than Columbine this time. 17 dead from the actions of a kid who was adopted, lost his father, his mother recently passed away, was threatening his ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend that he was going to kill him, had, you know, medication that he was given for mental issues, had 39 different encounters with local law enforcement over the course of 7 years, posted a comment on a YouTube video about, you know, the 1966 University of Texas clock tower sniper saying, I'm going to be a professional school shooter. That was given over to the FBI with nothing but a silly response by the agency saying, we couldn't identify this person, Nicholas Cruz, a person who used his real name on the account. His name posted on the post was Nicholas Cruz. You could have went to the school and said, hey, you got any Nicholas Cruzes hanging around here? Investigation done. But the FBI dropped the ball again. And then they got a tip on their tip line in January based on his disturbing Instagram page, which you should have seen. I've got screenshots of it. He's always in a mask, very Antifa black blockish. Just kind of noting that when I looked at it. He's brandishing all types of weapons, guns, knives. Yep, FBI didn't do anything. If anything, this was their failure. It's not the failure of an inanimate object that requires someone to operate it. Let's not focus on the hate or lack of respect for human life that drives someone to use this device. I mean, you know, I'm not overweight because I indulge myself in gluttonous fashion with, it's the fork's problem. You know, it's the fork's fault. We need common sense fork control. When really, the gun control issue, what they don't understand is the right to bear arms was something that the founders foresaw. It wasn't, well, you know, they didn't know that you were going to have something crazier than a musket back then. You know, it's not about muskets. The musket argument is ridiculous. And the old-timey argument of saying, you know, like Alyssa Milano did, where she was saying, well, you know, there were so many things back in the past that, you know, have changed. I mean, it's utterly ridiculous to think that what she is saying is something that is even worthy of even talking about. I mean, when she said, also popular in 1791, the year the Second Amendment was adopted, slavery, the Three-Fifths Compromise, bloodletting, lead paint, being literally owned by your husband. I mean, you can go on. Dying at childbirth, using chamber pots. Well, you know what? It wasn't about muskets, and it wasn't about old-timey views. It was about the fact that the revolution, they defeated the British Empire because they were armed themselves. They defeated an empire to which the sun never set by themselves, not even a trained military army. But, you know, it's always the gun that did it. Doesn't matter if there were other items used, like a bomb, you know, bomb-making materials, knives, those never get talked about. They keep saying, well, if Nicholas Cruz had a knife, he wouldn't have killed as many as he did. Which is BS because years ago, 33 were killed by a knife on a train in the gun-free zone called China. Maybe he wouldn't have gotten that close. I mean, you can make that argument. Maybe he would have been overwhelmed by a crowd if he did this in a school. But what if he built a bomb with the bomb materials that he was, you know, basically hoarding? He could have taken out half the campus, exponentially killing it more, you know, killing more than what he actually did. But it's always the gun. It's always the AR-15. You know, the AR-15 is kind of like that hot chick that walks into the bar with the bachelorette party. You know, even though she's hanging out with all the other rifles and knives, they're doing a bunch of shooters. The AR-15 is the only one that gets noticed. I mean, it's ridiculous. All the rifles and knives, they get overlooked. But, you know, no one's crying. You know, they're all crying. No one needs a weapon of war. Well, you know, no one needs a military assault vehicle. They don't need a military assault Humvee. Those fully automatic vehicles of war are dangerous. I mean, the AR-15 is almost identical to the Ruger Mini 14. They're both semi-automatic. Both are 22 caliber, you know, they use 22 caliber ammunition. They both have 30-round magazines. But while the Ruger looks similar to the Daisy BB rifle that almost took that kid's eye out in the Christmas story, the AR-15 is a scary Rambo-looking-like weapon that if you pull the trigger, just sprays millions at the speed of light. And we keep hearing all these people running around screaming common sense gun laws, but yet have no details, no common sense solutions. I mean, drink every time you hear somebody say common sense. I mean, really, I think we need common sense investigation reform since the FBI dropped the ball. But this is all a case for federalism. The FBI shouldn't be investigating across the nation when local law enforcement would have been more nimble, more effective at handling and recognizing these warning signs. But, you know, big government's great. Local law enforcement, they're a bunch of dim-witted hayseeds. That's how the population views everything. We got to recognize that this was big government's failure. Background checks failed. See something, say something failed. Investigations failed. Like I said, common sense investigation reform is what we need. So let's get into the players that CNN decided to co-opt on the other side of the break.
This is Adrian Slade.
The Adrian Slade Broadcast.
So, the Parkland shooting, when the bodies were still warm, CNN found its heroes. To the credit of CNN, we now have the 3-year-old Alan Kurdi, the Syrian that washed up on the shore. This is their version in the war on the Second Amendment. We have this president's Cindy Sheehan. Our Aleppo boy has arrived, and it comes in the form of two students. Emma Alien Gonzalez, that's not her middle name. I just think it's funny. Alien Gonzalez, you know, that was a fixture back in that time too. And David Hogg. CNN heads, they drugged them out, gave them a platform, and I wonder why.
So many signs that the Florida shooter was mentally disturbed, even expelled for bad and erratic behavior. Neighbors and classmates knew he was a big problem, must always report such instances to authorities again and again. We did, time and time again. Since he was in middle school, it was no surprise to anyone who knew him to hear that he was the shooter. Those talking about how we should have not ostracized him? You didn't know this kid! Okay, we did! We know that they're claiming that there are mental health issues, and I am not a psychologist, but we need to pay attention to the fact that this isn't just a mental health issue. He wouldn't have harmed that many students with a knife!
Again, it's not the knife, it is the failure of big government. Big government's failure is something we have to recognize. Stop blaming the gun, start recognizing the failure of big government. You always hear the argument, why do you need a gun? The police have the guns. Yeah, unless they cower, like the Florida cop assigned to the high school who hid during the massacre, watched it all, there's video of it, didn't even intercede. And not only was it one officer, it was found out that it was more than one. It was three officers who didn't intercede. Yeah, about that gun control. Let's play the rest of the clip.
How about we stop blaming the victims for something that was the shooter's fault? The fault of the people who let him buy the guns in the first place. Those at the gun shows. The people who encouraged him to buy accessories for his guns to make them fully automatic. The people who didn't take them away from him when they knew that he expressed homicidal tendencies. And I am not talking about the FBI. I am talking about the people that he lived with. I'm talking about the neighbors who saw him outside holding guns. If the president wants to come up to me and tell me to my face that it was a terrible tragedy and how it should never have happened and maintain telling us how nothing is going to be done about it, I'm going to happily ask him how much money he received from the National Rifle Association.
And there you have it. You have a female who shaved her head like Rose McGowan in a Me Too style fashion. Check. She's Hispanic, so she will connect with the Dreamers. Check. She's also president of the Gay Straight Alliance with her school. Oh, LGBTQRS, check. And she's barking the right talking points of the left. She's going to have an instant career in activism, maybe journalism. Heck, she'll be trotted out at the next MTV Music or Movie Awards, whichever one comes first, possibly both. And then, of course, we have this kid, David Hogg. He's an aspiring journalist, actually. He wants to work for 60 Minutes. And it's amazing when you think about some of the things that you can find on social media, considering these people. You know, like when you look at what he posted, first off, he's big into net neutrality, so he's favoring. This is what he did on Election Day. He first tweeted, God help us. So obviously Donald Trump was elected. Next, he followed it up with, tyranny naturally arises out of democracy, Plato. Which is funny that the left is going to trot that phrase out, but then spend all their time talking about how we're a democracy and wanting to circumvent the Electoral College that turns a democracy into a representative republic. But, you know, let's not worry about that. Then he followed up with planning to flee to Canada? Try accessing the immigration website first. He also had, going back to 2015, amazing photos of refugees in Syria. Yeah, he's a big refugee guy. And not only that, the BBC had something pretty amazing. David called his dad, a former FBI agent, who told him to stay calm. Other people called their parents as well. That's from the BBC. So David Hogg's dad is in the same, or was, he's retired from the same organization that failed to take measures to stop this kid on multiple occasions. So, I mean, the media, they have taken them out and exploited the death out of them. They have been despicable with this incident. CBS, they went out and reported it's easier to purchase a firearm than it is cold medicine. Last time I checked, I don't remember the clearance bin at the CVS peddling AR-15s at half off. You can buy Sudafed at pharmacies and grocery stores last time I checked. Gun stores, maybe a Walmart might sell rifles, so they don't have the accessibility and spread as Sudafed does. But, I mean, could it be that the reason why you can't buy cold medicine that CBS is speaking of is because it's used to make methamphetamines? I mean, Florida, it's like one of the meth capitals. It's probably equally as hard to purchase a gun as it is Robitussin because, A, both are locked behind a counter, B, they require you ID so that you can purchase it, and C, they put you on a list to make sure you're not going to come back and abuse it. So then we get a great talking point that follows. Oh, hey, let's drop the voting age down to 16. That was a CNN report. Which, I mean, I can look at it and say, translation, we found a bunch of 16-year-olds that paired our talking points. Should we allow them to vote? Because they sure as hell will never vote for limited government at that age before leaving the house and entering the real world. Heck, we may not even need those illegal immigrant dreamers when we have a huge pool of legal citizens that will vote for our agenda just sitting untouched. It's like gold mine. We haven't even, we haven't even fracked the 16-year-olds. Nothing like giving the power of electing the bureaucrats over to a group of people who are probably playing Call of Duty for 12 hours a day with virtual guns, virtual headshots, and they're probably sneaking out of their parents' house in the middle of the night. CNN even quoted a student and said, either you are with us or against us. Oh, it's going to be like that, huh? Well, I'm against you because you probably have never read the Federalist Papers. You probably couldn't tell me all three branches of government without going, well, there's like the presidential branch and like Congress and like, I don't know. And they are giving you their straw man, the NRA, as Emma Gonzalez just talked about. They even want you to go so far as to say that the NRA trained the shooter. Why? How did you get there? Simply because he was in the junior ROTC. Really? This is an army organization in about every school in the nation, marching with pump action guns with no bullets. People are actually appalled that this group actually exists, that they're throwing around, you know, rifles in the air in synchronized fashion. So if we're going to shut that down, let's go ahead and shut down the Blue Devils marching band because they're marching with rifles and they might inspire a mass shooting someday. I don't know. They're certainly not going to inspire them to get laid because the rifle team in the marching band is right behind the flag line in the percussion pit in the coolness scale. And I know this because I did marching band as a quint drummer in the drum line, so I got a little bit of authority on this subject. And the news beats the narrative drum. 18 school shootings in 2018. It boiled the incidents down to such shooting incidents as a kid shooting a chocolate lab in the balls with a BB gun in the Wilson Elementary School parking lot on a Sunday where no one was in the building. Completely trumped up garbage. They even said that someone shooting a window of a bus with a pellet gun was considered a school shooting. No, seriously, they did. And with this type of scope, there should be a crap ton of shootings then. Who cares if it's the truth or not? It's only February and we've had at least 18,000 stupid things this year. Just like, who cares whether it's true that Florida Shooter was a part of the Republic of Florida white supremacist group or not? Let's run the headline anyways. Why not, AP News? You're a credible news source. Why not just go out there and say, hey, this guy was a part of the white supremacist group? I mean, we found out later that this was actually a prank that was conducted on 4chan, or actually through Discord, the Discord chatting app. It's an app that gamers use to talk back and forth. What they said happens is there's a gentleman in the chat, and he has a live call-in show, and he hangs out in their chat room. So a shooting begins, and someone from the group makes an Instagram page. ABC News reporter contacts the person who made the page and pretends that it's his page and tells her that he knew the shooter. He gives her some of the people's numbers, and they prank call her, telling her that Cruz was a chubby chaser. In other spicy memes, as they say. ABC blows up Jordan's hotline, which is the gentleman who has the show. He knew it was the group, so he plays right along. And he said that he wasn't a member, but only an affiliate, and that he has some pictures of this, of Cruz. And then he said, and then they say, we laughed our butt off and go to bed. We wake up and it's international news. So they prank AP News, who gets out there with this headline: the latest, the leader of a white nationalist militia says Florida school shooting suspect Nicholas Cruz was a member of his group and participated in paramilitary drills in Tallahassee. Of course, Jordan, who is the gentleman from the Royal or the Republic of Florida white supremacist group, said, those of you who are calling me a fake white nationalist, go F yourselves. There was a legit misunderstanding because we have multiple people named Nicholas in Republic of Florida. And I got a bunch of conflicting information, and I have not slept for like 2 days. I know when I'm tired, I'm going to make those claims. I'm going to say, oh yeah, that mass shooter. Yeah, I knew him. I even gave him a gun. Gosh, I'm tired. Shouldn't have stayed up so late. And so when the news media called me up and asked me yes or no questions, it was easy for them to misrepresent what I say. Are you really going to blame me? Yeah, that was the leader's response. So what's also crazy is that we can have months of a weekly news cycle spinning so fast that is producing, you know, producing a show like this is a chore because it's almost impossible. By the end of the week, things that were newsworthy on a Monday are almost eclipsed and irrelevant on a Friday. But when we get a tragedy like Florida that can be exploited to be used to grab one of the left's most sought after brass rings, gun control, and it grinds to a crawl. That's what happens to the news cycle. We perseverated on for weeks. Unless, of course, it's Vegas, then poof, it's gone. Like it never even happened. That's the media's management of information and the news cycle. But then even politicians like the man versus food candidate, John Kasich, you know, his son was a mailman, and he's really into fitness hoagie in his mouth, as he did on the campaign trail. Listen to what he said.
I was talking to a friend of mine this morning. He's a big gun collector. I said, if all of a sudden you couldn't buy an AR-15, what would you lose? Would you feel as though your Second Amendment rights would be eroded because you couldn't buy a goddarn AR-15? These are the things that have to be looked at, and action has to happen before. And look, you're never going to fix all of this, but common sense gun laws make sense.
Well, Mr. Kasich, what if you were never allowed to talk about Planned Parenthood ever again? What would you lose, Kasich? What if you were never allowed to decline to answer incriminating questions, you know, when being detained? What would you lose, Mr. Kasich, son of a mailman? What are these common sense laws? We never get any of the details. Never. Back in a second.
This is Adrian Slade.
The Adrian Slade Broadcast.
This is from Chris Cuomo from CNN. In my experience, engaging in gun vocabulary is mostly a distraction. ARs are military-style rifles, period. Too many people get them and use them to kill innocent people. Who gets them and how must be reconsidered. Yeah, you know, we should just make them all magically disappear. Magically eliminate all guns. Then we could teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. We could buy the world a flippin' Coke and keep it company. And that's the song he sings, because that is what it's going to get you. Nothing. You're not going to be able to make this utopian state. And the misinformation by the media, like this one gentleman, Cody Davis, I was able to buy an AR-15 in 5 minutes. I'm 20 and my ID expired. To which he basically said later in his article, after he walked me through the paperwork, all 5 pages of it, I told him I changed my mind and I wanted to think more before I bought an AR-15. He told me it wasn't a problem and he listed the store hours if I wanted to come back. And then he said thank you and I walked back to my car. And this is after he took a picture of him holding an AR-15 trying to make the claim that he just bought it. To which I said, yeah, that's not buying an AR-15. That's just shopping. That's all that is. And then you can give it back to them and they will put it back on the shelf. That's how that works. I mean, but we've got the media on full-blown attack to destroy the Second Amendment. We've also got what, you know, the politicians like John Kasich that we played earlier propping the media up. And we have these kids who are being co-opted by the media and being used. And we don't even know if their lines are being taught. Listen to old David Hogg.
Because we had had a fire alarm earlier that day, and that was a drill. So we thought this was a drill too, just another one. Because we have a lot of fire alarms, a lot of fire drills at the school. After we heard the first gunshot, we initially thought it was a drill. Actually, that was a bad choice.
It's okay, you're fine.
Actually, that was a bad choice because the janitor... Sorry.
It's okay, you're fine, David, you're fine.
Honestly, when I was going out, when I was going out, I was in shock.
Yeah, saying, I don't know how to put this in perspective. It's okay.
So most of my friends that made it out, one of them went into a bathroom in the same, I believe in the same hallway as the shooter. Hold on.
It's okay.
One of them went into the same bathroom, I believe, as the hallway shooter. He was in there at the same time, and he was in the bathroom, and he didn't know if he was going to live.
Now, I'm not insinuating that he was being fed lines because he could very well be so shaken up by the experience that, you know, he just is losing train of thought. So I don't want people to, you know, think I'm going down Alex Jones InfoWorld or InfoWars Gateway Pundit path. But I do find it kind of odd when you listen to him. Sounds kind of strange. I find it odd that not only was that the case, but also that he was at CNN about a year before, you know, practicing and doing all this stuff because he is a journalist student, you know, a student of journalism. I've also thought it was odd, some of his occurrences, you know, online. It's the guy, something doesn't sit well with me with that. And of course, don't get out there and criticize it. First, don't make the mistake that Dinesh D'Souza did and just step all in it. Because I know he was trying to make a point that the media was exploiting these kids. And he was tweeting about it in such a way that, you know, when the kids were in the chamber of the Florida, you know, legislature and a bill got knocked down, they started crying. And he said, you know, adults one, children zero. Or when the same picture of them crying, he said, they haven't cried like that since they were told they had to go get a summer job. Yeah, that's probably not going to sit too well. Might get you pulled from CPAC or something. But the fact that other people who have been following this and have been skeptical of the motives of the media and the kids that they brought up there, their new Aleppo boys, their new, you know, Alan Curtis and Cindy Sheehan's, they were all censored last night along with Russian bots on Twitter. Twitter shut down tons of people. Some of them were actually people, you know, that followed me. I mean, I lost like about 100 followers or so, and then they were restored throughout the day. But it was odd. They tried to say on the news, well, you know, they were doing a little housekeeping, just clearing out some Russian bots. And they nailed a ton of people. Now, some of them may be questionable people as far as credibility goes. You know, some may be slightly in conspiracy theorist land. But you know what? If they are actual people, there's no reason to shut them down. You know, Twitter, if you are a business, and I understand that, you get to control what speech is on there. Don't throw this free speech around. Don't make the mistake, conservatives and people on the right, of thinking, well, you know, it's an infringement on free speech. The platform is owned by Twitter. But from Twitter's perspective, they need to be thinking about something big time here. They need to be thinking about, do I want my brand to be basically delegitimized? because there are other platforms out there. And one of the things that they can look at, which rightfully so, is that they want to keep a solid branding. So, you know, you don't want those vile accounts coming in there that are just spewing crap, you know, F you and blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, you better not take a position that politically aligns you with one singular side, because you're ostracizing an entire segment of America that will use that platform. And when you do that, you will destroy your business, to which you barely have a fiscal foundation as it is. That being said, we need to look at the fact that there are some funny instances that we can account of where the Democrats, who, you know, when they had all three branches of government, you know, when they were out there touting gun bans, they didn't use their opportunity, the same opportunity they had when they were force-feeding us the Affordable Care Act that they never even read before they passed it. Yeah, they had a chance, and they never took it. Gabriel Maller wrote this in The Federalist back in June of 2016. On Monday evening, Senate Democrats put party over principle in rejecting common sense, reasonable gun measures. After the mass murder in Orlando at the gay club, the Pulse nightclub, Senator Chris Murphy and his colleagues staged a flashy talk-a-thon in which they demanded that votes be taken on legislation strengthening gun control laws. The Senate Republicans agreed to the Democrats' demand. Democrats got what they asked for, and then they blew it. Senate Republicans agreed to vote for four gun control proposals, two offered by Democrats and two offered by Republicans. The Democrat proposals included Senator Dianne Feinstein's bill linking a terrorism watch list to gun ban sales. On the Republican side, Senator John Cornyn also offered legislation that would link a terrorism watch list to a gun sales ban, but his version added due process protections for Americans who were put on the list. The other two proposals expanded the national instant criminal background check system, although the Republican version didn't go as far as the Democrat version. For a brief moment, it seemed like the Senate would take some kind of action. Then all four gun control proposals were voted down because of the Democrats. Rather than agree to an incremental gun control measure that Republicans proposed, the Democrats chose to pass no gun control legislation at all. At some point, after loudly demanding legislation for more than a week, Senate Democrats decided it would be better for their re-election prospects that no gun control bills pass the Senate during the election season. Their decision was hypocritical, unprincipled, and pure politics. Republicans were willing to link terrorism watch list to a gun sales ban, as Democrats have demanded. The price of the agreement was due process protections for Americans placed on the list. But apparently due process was too much for the Democrats. They would rather have no sales ban than a sales ban that comports with the Fifth Amendment. The Democrats similarly rejected an incremental expansion of the national instant criminal background check system. Apparently, some gun control is not worth sharing credit with the Republicans. Not content to merely vote against incremental gun control, Senate Democrats then decided to throw a tantrum about it. Murphy sleaze that Republicans on the Senate side have decided to sell weapons to ISIS. Senator Elizabeth Warren tweeted her agreement. Senator Harry Reid nonsensically accused Republicans of blocking the very gun control measures Republicans had proposed. Make no mistake, Senate Democrats rejected two incremental gun control bills for no other reason than that Republicans were voting for them. Democrats' hatred for Republicans was far more important to them than the moral standards by which they claimed to possess. Exactly. That's exactly it. And now they're out there touting this whole idea. Well, maybe we should shut down credit card bans. Credit card companies should shut down the sale of, transactions, or shut down the way transactions can be handled through their gateways to gun store owners and what have you. Yeah, we had that before under Obama. That was called Operation Choke Point. And it was, again, unconstitutional targeting of private businesses engaged in legal transactions where credit card processing systems were shut down because they didn't agree with the political sale of the items that they were selling. So that's your Democrat Party. They're looking to strip you of rights that shouldn't be infringed. They're looking to strip you of the ability to purchase weapons because they're trying to say, well, look, I got one. I'm 20 years old and an expired ID, even though that was complete BS. They're looking to cause the transactions that get handled through the credit card agencies to be shut down because they don't like the fact that you're able to support your self-defense and your ability to stand up against a tyrannical government. And we're going to talk about how Alexander Hamilton defined a well-regulated militia, how Patrick Henry defined what the Second Amendment is, how James Madison thought the right to bear arms and the individual's ownership, how he thought that was important on the other side of the break.
This is Adrian Slade.
The Adrian Slade Broadcast.
On the issue that you've raised about the background checks, relate directly to what you said about the assault weapons ban. It's not the loopholes. It's the problem that once you start looking at how easy it is to get around it, you would literally have to ban every semi-automatic rifle that's sold in America. Fair enough. That is a valid position to hold. But my colleagues do not support banning every semi-automatic rifle sold in America.
That was Marco Rubio at the CNN town hall on Thursday night on the Florida shooting. Obviously, they want every gun banned. I mean, Nancy Pelosi had said they weren't going to stop beyond bump stocks. And listen to this New York State legislature exchange about banning guns.
And Joe, I have in my hands here something that we received from the Senate, which is rejected Democrat proposals in this gun bill. And I don't know that you've seen this or if you know that these are there or not.
No, but we don't have our own list of rejected proposals that the Senate rejected, so I don't have anything to show you.
Okay. All right, so then I won't address it then if you haven't seen it. I'll leave that one alone. Okay, thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. And Mr. Speaker, on the bill.
And by the way, I would recommend not to have that list shared because it really has the capacity to dampen the enthusiasm to compromise.
Well, it sure does when we talk about confiscation of assault weapons. It absolutely has the ability to dampen a compromise. Mr. Speaker, on the bill.
So when I saw that this was going to happen, you know, they were going to have this event, I wasn't even going to tune into this dumpster fire. I mean, this is a network that has been uncovered as frauds on undercover camera. And they're setting up Florida representatives and great patriots like Dana Lash, who represents the NRA. And Dana Lash killed it. I know there were some that were critical because they wanted this Trey Gowdy, Chris Christie-esque kind of shout-you-down match on her behalf. But really, she was calm. She was collected. She was sourced. She had tons of facts. And she basically destroyed this self-aggrandizing sheriff who couldn't recognize the failures of his own law enforcement agency. I mean, what was even telling was the building that I work in, quite a few low information people in there. I mean, when they started chit-chatting about, you know, the CNN town hall debate, I had to like really kind of eavesdrop, and I was expecting the same old, yeah, you know, they got to get rid of the guns. Look at the kids. They actually said, well, they had Marco Rubio up there, and they had this NRA representative. I can't remember her name. Man, she's one heck of a representative. She was strong, collected, knowledgeable. So I would say taking the Gandhi route, as Dana Lash did, was a win. But anyways, but they left Dana Lash up there against a group of school kids who are shielded from any criticism and above reproach, regardless of their past views. Like the one kid who is actually somebody that you were seeing a lot from at this point. This Cody, what's his name again? Cameron Caskey, who said, oh, Rand Paul assaulted again? Finally, some good news. I think it should be encouraged that we punch alt-right people in the face. It's a miracle I don't punch the average Republican in the first place. Every time I hear a politician say, God, I want to smash the device on which I'm watching it happen into 1,000 little pieces. Yeah, Cameron Caskey, he's one of the kids who is fighting for gun control. And they're above reproach. Can't criticize them. They had a nice little drama club, Glee-style anthem to close out the show. They had all the talking points in the lyrics of their songs, like, you're either with us or against us, and we're not too young, you must listen to us. And I don't remember hearing any memorializing of their slain friends. I didn't see a slideshow of pictures. Just anger over guns. I mean, it was Kabuki theater at its most contrived. I mean, think about it. They had an anti-gun rally completely organized 2 days after a shooting. They have a CNN town hall exactly 1 week after the day in order to simply attack conservatives and to vilify the NRA, putting them up against everyone in a buzzsaw lynch mob. I mean, there's nothing organic about this whatsoever. I mean, how many 501c3s are formed and greenlighted to accept money from George Clooney and Oprah Winfrey so quickly? How does that happen? But, you know, they even tried to coax a witness who didn't play by their rules by giving them some sort of script, which he refused.
I expected to be able to ask my questions and give my opinion on my questions.
But Colton Hobb, a member of the junior ROTC who shielded classmates in the midst of terror, says he did not get to share his experience.
CNN had originally asked me to write a speech and questions, and it ended up being all scripted.
Colton wrote questions about school safety, suggested using veterans as armed school security guards, but claimed CNN wanted him to ask a scripted question instead, so he decided not to go.
I mean, does this surprise anybody? So he's not going to be brought up on stage to the student stand-up event. I mean, he won't even be able to sing along with the Alan Kurdi and the suit-covered Aleppo Boys choir. But, you know, CNN has a history of this. They've done this in the past. They've done this at debates. I mean, Donna Brazile. This was gaslighting and it's most coordinated. So you can wait for the SNL skit of the CNN town hall where they lampoon everyone on the right. In fact, there's probably going to be a somber opening to the next SNL with kids, these same kids, trotted out on the set. I mean, innocent kids died. And these people are exploiting it in the death of their friend's wake. I mean, this is a hack job. Eight rows of student activists facing Dana Loesch, who was representing the NRA, which they dub a terrorist organization. I mean, we can't even get Black Lives Matter or the Muslim Brotherhood to be deemed one of those. But, you know, we do to a citizen collective like gun control in the court of public opinion. I mean, she was up against the student body and the sports medicine doctor, Police Chief Israel, putting every example through football plays and torn ACLs. I mean, I tore my ACL just listening to his blathering. And, you know, it's not like they're stacking the deck. I mean, like Dana says, you have to take the conversation where it's going to be held in order to win hearts and minds. It's not her fault she walked into a progressive lynch mob with a glee anthem at the finale of the show. Those people never wanted to listen in the first place. And when we run into what we're running into with Trump saying, hey, he's going to ban bumfire stocks, which he's not king, so he can't just wave a magic golden wand and make that happen. But he's also saying he wants to raise the purchase to age 21. At the same time, they want to lower the voting age to 16, which makes absolutely no sense. But this is why I supported Ted Cruz, because I knew there was going to come a time where a constitutional crisis would come into play. And when that constitutional crisis came into play, how would we be able to view it through our president, through our Congress? Would they view it through the lens of constitutionality, or would they just go off of their gut feeling like Trump may do? I don't know. But I knew Ted Cruz wouldn't stand for that. He would keep it to the letter of the law. So let's hope Trump doesn't fall into the rabbit hole of emotion. So what is, you know, the Second Amendment? What was it all about? I mean, it was all about protections of rights. Patrick Henry said, the great object is that every man be armed. And Richard Henry Lee, fellow Virginian, also member of the first Senate, wrote, to preserve liberty, it is essential that the whole body of the people always possess arms and be taught alike, especially when young, how to use them. George Mason, also from Virginia, said, to disarm the people is the best and most effective way to enslave them. I mean, it's the reason why, you know, every time I get into these arguments with the left, I always have to dust off the Federalist Papers, because when I engage with progressive socialists, they always go back over what is the right to bear arms and what is a well-regulated militia. Well, that's not a national army with tons of government laws. I mean, that's how they make the, you know, the comment, well, the founders didn't anticipate weapons. They, you know, the musket, they were only loading muskets and it was only for hunting and you don't need automatic weapons to hunt, blah, 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 blah. It's always followed up with, how do we know what the founders meant? Well, we do, and that is the Federalist Papers. Federalist Papers number 29, Alexander Hamilton discusses the well-regulated militia and says, It is also empowered to the individual state, saying reserving to the states respectively the appointment of the officers and the authority of training the militia according to the discipline prescribed by Congress. He makes the case that if a well-regulated militia be the best national defense, they should be at the disposal of the federal government, because at the time it was a decision between states' rights and federal rights. And the states were going to have their own armies that would operate at the disposal of the federal government, because they were understood as being the ones to protect federal freedoms. Madison understood it. In Federalist 46, he says, "Let a regular army fully equal to the resources of the country be formed, and let it be entirely to the devotion of the federal government," back in what Alexander Hamilton said. Still, it would not be going too far to say that the state governments, with the people on their side, would be able to repel the danger. The highest number of which, according to the best computation, a standing army can be carried into any country does not exceed 100th part of the whole number of souls or citizens. So he's basically saying there has to be more of us than there are of them, armed. He said, "Let us not insult the free and gallant citizens of America with suspicion that they'd be less able to defend rights of which they'd be in actual possession than the debased subjects of arbitrary power would be to rescue theirs from the hands of their oppressors." That's the crux of why we have the Second Amendment, and these kids that are being trotted out don't have any clue. And on top of that, the people who are backing this movement to remove the Second Amendment's rights to bear arms plan on handing it over to the one person who they are currently fighting against and call Hitler, and that would be Donald Trump. So yeah, we deserve a Fergie national anthem after weeks of ignorance and lack of understanding of constitutionality. I'm Adrian Slade. Thanks for tuning in.